It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. America has been captivated with The Last Dance on Sunday nights. We're through six episodes, and people continue to enjoy it and discuss it a lot. And somebody who's on the line with us, it's been a while since we've talked to him, knows a little bit about the main character in The Last Dance, Michael Jordan. And Buzz Peterson is indeed on the line with us, was an assistant coach at Vanderbilt, of course, was a head coach in Tennessee and Coastal Carolina and UNC Wilmington. And he now joins us and, of course, played at North Carolina with Michael Jordan. Buzz, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Have you enjoyed The Last Dance?
I have. You know, it's I know a lot of things have gone on because been a good friend of Michael's and everything, so I kind of feel this is reminiscent of some of the stuff, but to have my kids sitting there watching it and my wife asking all these questions, so it's been neat, but it's going to get better. You know, that's the true Michael. He's very competitive.
Well, that you led me right into the next question, Buzz, and you played the game at a high level. You've coached for a long time, and look, every player is wired differently, right? And I don't know if anybody's wired like Michael Jordan. There have been a lot maybe some that have been kind of close. Kobe comes to mind and others. But what is it like? Because we were talking about this yesterday. We were like, you know, if it wasn't Jerry Krause, it would have been somebody else, right? He's always looking for something to get him motivated or to get him going, right? Isn't that how he's wired? You would know better than us.
There, you sound just like my wife. She said the same thing. She says she's watched all of them, and when it got done the night, she says, you know, it seems to me that he always found something to pick out that would motivate him to play hard. Because I had told her, even in practices at Carolina, every drill he would try to win. And he knew the drills, a lot of the drills that he really did well in, because he'd get in the locker room, he would have up on the board, the chalkboard back then, that I dunked on Kenny three times, or I dunked on Buzz four times, I won this drill, that drill. Such a competitor. And I look back, I've been asked so many times, why is he like this? And I look back, he's the youngest of three boys. There's a gap, the oldest son, James, to Larry at 6 years, and then there's less than 15 months from Larry to Michael. And I can see Mr. Jordan say, hey, little Mike, if you want to go out there and play with your brothers, go ahead, but don't come back in this house crying to me and your mom that they're picking on you or anything. I really believe at a young age that was instilled in him, and it just helped him as he got older and older and older. And, you know, if you remember his Hall of Fame speech, he talked about things that he had to be motivated to get himself going every single day.
You mean like getting cut from the ninth? What was it? Ninth grade from the high school team? Tenth grade.
Yeah, he wanted to be on a varsity, and he didn't. And the thing with Michael in high school, he was a 6'4", but he's more of a post player back then. Wasn't much of his guard skills, whatever. But he was a tremendous rebounder, runner, jumper, all that stuff at that time. And just took a matter of time, Coach Smith, to get ingrained in him the fundamentals, the teaching points, the skill work, and he became one heck of a player.
You were roommates with him in college, by the way. It was great when CBS was showing some of those throwback games. We had Coach Eddie Fogler on one of the Monday after your all's game against Georgetown. That national championship game was aired on CBS. You lived that. You were roommates with Michael Jordan. So, you know, we've heard all these stories. We've talked to Will Perdue over the years, and, you know, you hear the stories of fights and practice and all that. Was he even like that all the way going back to college? I mean, what was he like whenever you were around him for so long? He was the best man in your wedding, so obviously you guys were close.
Yeah. First of all, Eddie Fogler deserves a lot of credit. because Eddie Fogler recruited a lot of these All-Americans to North Carolina. In 84, at one time, I think we had 10 of the 14 players were All-Americans. And Eddie Fogler did majority of that recruiting, or maybe all of it. So he deserves a lot of credit. But Michael, back to him, is he's always been that way. Ever since I met him in the summer of 1980, when he didn't get the MVP in the McDonald's East-West game in Wichita, Kansas, and they gave it to Adrian Branch. So for the next 3 years when we played Maryland, oh, boy. He was fired up. He was motivated. And if you can remember the dunk where he, I guess you rocked the baby, whatever you call it, where you jump up and you just rock the ball back and forth and he just throws it in with his right hand. That's something you see a lot on dunks. And he had to do that 3 times in practice before Coach Smith would let him do it. And of course, Coach said, Michael, I wouldn't do that. You know, I recommend not doing that. That's showing people up. Well, when it came time we played Maryland, he got that breakaway. He was going to do it, and he did it. And that's what's so special about him.
We're talking to Buzz Peterson, roommate, teammate, friend, Michael Jordan. And, of course, most of you remember him as an assistant coach at Vanderbilt, 93 to 96, head coach at Tennessee not long after that. Of course, some great stints at Appalachian State in between and Tulsa. Buzz, this is Willie, and it's great to catch up with you. And I've been thinking about you a lot as I've been watching this documentary. And one story comes to mind, and I hope you can share it with me. I had a flashback, Buzz, because I was just getting to know you. You had just come to town. I had just graduated from the program. And, of course, one of my confidants, he was in my wedding, Kevin Anglin, who you worked with, was on the staff.
That's my man.
And I'll never forget one night. In the fall, Kevin and I are hanging out, and he says, and I had just started the show with George Plaster. I mean, I had been on the show maybe just a few weeks, and he says, Willie, you're not going to believe what's going to happen tomorrow. He said, tomorrow something is going to rock the sports world that you can't say anything about on the show or anything. You got to promise to keep it secret, but Michael Jordan is going to retire. And I said, you got to be kidding me. How do you know this? And he says, well, you know, think about it. And then I was like, oh, okay. But tell me about that, because he confided in you before the world knew that he was going to do this, and this is going to be the episode that they show on Sunday.
Yeah, well, you know, after he won the first one, I remember talking to him, and his dad, they were talking one night, and his dad said, you know what, son, if you want to step away now, I'm right behind him, all for it. You've won it all. You've won an NCAA championship, the Olympic, NBA. You've accomplished what you want to accomplish. Because it's all about winning to Michael. And that's where some people sometimes take him. He may be off the rock a little bit, but it's all about winning to him, and he'd won them all. But he kept telling his dad, I can win more. We can win more. But you know, Mr. Jordan always wanted Michael. He always felt like he had been one heck of a baseball player. And then that's why he wanted to give baseball a try. And so that's why he gave it a shot there. But, yeah, he said, you know, he kept saying that this is it. But when you step – I always kept saying, when you step away 20 months, 25 months from that, how you going to feel? And that's when, it's just hard. Once you play it so much, you want to get a taste of it again.
So you understood where he was coming from, that he was ready – to step away, because that a lot of us, you know, couldn't fathom it that he wanted to play baseball. He would step away from all of the success. He was on top of the world.
It's his drive every day to win, every drill, all that stuff. I mean, I'm sure it takes a lot to do that every single day, and that's how he was. I mean, I think you saw a scene maybe in one or two, I can't remember, might have been three, where he's at their practice facility. And if you notice, he's shooting by himself. Michael never won. A lot of people rebound the ball for him. He would set a toss back underneath the basket. He'd shoot free throws. Then he'd put toss backs on each side, and he would throw into those toss backs. So he always felt like that it's going to make me concentrate to hit those toss backs, and it's going to come back to me. And that's a drill that Coach Guthridge had us do at Carolina. So he was one of these independent guys that want to work extra, and he would always be in there before anybody else.
It had to be an interesting role that you played throughout the years, just knowing him the way they do. Because, I mean, we all get it. Like, our freshman roommate, you get to know that person like the back of your hand. And fortunately, if you have that bond, you're going to have that bond forever. Kevin told me a great story one time that you and he were talking on the phone, and you happened to be with Michael at a drive-thru at McDonald's, and you were giving Michael a hard time because he didn't have any cash. And he's a spokesperson for McDonald's, right? But he couldn't get food at the drive-thru because he didn't have any cash on him.
Yeah, that drives me. That used to drive me crazy. I mean, I cannot believe you do all these commercials for McDonald's and you cannot pay for our meal going through here. But Michael's going to allow it. There's only a certain amount of money he got each month. I mean, parents didn't want him to just throw the money away. It's what he told me. And so that he had this allowance for the first 4 years. So he only got so much. So I said, I guess that's why you called me up here. So the little pennies I got, can we go eat at McDonald's? They had some good memories. You know, freshman roommates. Did I think that this guy was going to be maybe the best of all time to lace it up? No. I wanted to go to Carolina and play. We had made this deal with each other. We're going to go to the same school and be teammates and all this stuff. And, of course, again, I didn't know if he was going to turn out like this because I was going to Kentucky. That's where I committed. But Michael kept wearing me out. I said, hey, look, we're going to go to school together. We're going to go to school together. And I said, okay, you're right. I told you that. Back then, Willie, remember, we only had one signing period. It was in April.
Right.
And we both signed the same time out of Wichita, Kansas, during that McDonald's East-West game. And but if I had to do it again, I'd do it all over. But I saw this guy as a roommate, and it didn't take long once we were there to figure out he's going to be pretty good because each year you saw him get better and better and better. And to the point where our junior year, we were overseas playing a tournament, and I've said his story before, we went against Scott May, who was player of the year in NCAA at Indiana on the undefeated team, and he was playing on an Italian team. And Michael had 30-plus points that game. Well, we only scored high 60s, low 70s. And we went in the locker room, changed uniforms, got a Snickers bar, and played a Yugoslavian team after that. Michael had 30-plus again. And that's when I walked out of the arena with Roy Williams, and I looked at Coach, and I said, Coach, my roommate could be the best to ever play this game. And he looked at me, and just being very political, I guess, he just, as a coach, he goes, well, if he keeps working hard, I think he has a chance. No, I just knew then this guy, he's going to be as good or better than Dr. J or Larry Bird.
When you guys are all together, as you mentioned, it's a series of selections, right? North Carolina is getting tremendous players up and down the roster. The roster of your guys' championship team in 82 is just loaded. It's loaded, and the teams you played on after that continue to be loaded. So how did Dean Smith, you know, keep everybody on the same page, keep everybody playing as a team? Because that's one of his greatest attributes. When you have all that talent, it's not easy to keep everybody happy.
Yeah. In 84, that team, I heard Coach Smith say one time, that's the best team he ever coached that didn't win it. That team had 10 out of the 14 guys on scholarship were McDonald's All-American. And the thing you had, what Coach did was interesting. If you were the first guy or you're the 14th guy, he treated you the same. Nobody got preferential treatment if you're a starter or whatever. So he always looked after everybody on that ball club, didn't treat anybody different. So he just knew that Coach and his staff had the best interest for you while you were there and after you left the university. So, but that team in 84 went 21-0 at one time, lost to Joe Klein and Alvin Robertson in Arkansas on a Sunday in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Matter of fact, I think we drove by the arena that we were playing on a Sunday morning. So, and then we end up losing to Indiana in the NCAA tournament early.
Buzz Peterson is with us. One more from me, Buzz, and then I know Chase has got a question or two for you here. But I'm just curious, as you now watch, and you're saying, you know, this is interesting, your kids are watching who probably weren't old enough to really watch him in his prime here. It's fun to watch Michael Jordan sort of tell his own story. He hasn't really been in the spotlight the last 10 or 12 years or so. I know he's been working, you know, with you with the Bobcats and the Hornets and trying to do the professional thing, but a little bit more behind the scenes. But I love to watch him talk passionately about all these great memories.
Yeah, and the thing about Michael is he's very intelligent. I mean, he's when you're on the floor with him, you better be playing your best, but also you better know what you're doing X and O wise. He's very savvy, very smart as a basketball player. I've always said this. If he wasn't playing basketball, if he was in a business world or running his company, he'd be successful doing that because he's going to demand a lot from his employees. And he's going to be smart how he can be successful. Well, he's been pretty sharp with those shoes that he's got. Now, that little, I call it the Jumpman, the Jumpy logo. He's been pretty smart on that and made quite financially rewarded for that. So, but he's always been very, very sharp, very intelligent. Everything he's done off the floor and has been very successful on the business side.
We're talking to Buzz Peterson, and Willie's question is along the same lines as mine because he's, you know, portrayed in this. He's very private. He, you know, the scene of him laying on the couch is getting his alone time during the course of a season. I mean, I think they do a good job of portraying him of just wanting to be alone at times. So does it surprise you, knowing him like you do, that he would have been willing to allow cameras to follow the team around in the locker room that last season to get together with ESPN and Netflix and do this type of documentary just because he's like to keep to himself and be private?
Yeah, he. I'm sure he said that's fine, but it took years and years for him to give the green light for them to say, "Hey, you can roll with this." And I knew it wasn't until like maybe 2016 that he said, "Hey, you guys can do this. We can roll with it." I knew there's a couple things he definitely wanted his mom interviewed. There's, you know, what 100 plus interviews from the different people that they had to do. And so I know they just barely got 9 and 10 done right before the COVID-19 hit. So it's been a rush for them a little bit towards the end because this wasn't supposed to happen until June. So, but it's been great for everybody to watch on Sunday nights and to focus in. But Michael's interviews, he did, I think there's 3 different settings. And he's done a nice job with them. I mean, he's done a very good job. He's telling a good story about his life.
By the way, his mom is an all-star. Is she not, Buzz? I love when she read the letter that Michael wrote freshman year. I need a little bit of money. I only have $20 left.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty funny. But, again, they were, you know, his parents said very successful, themselves and his family. The parents were pretty, you know, they watched over their children pretty strict with them and everything. So they did a great job of raising these kids.
I know you have to go. I have one more. What do you think it means to him to hear now, unfortunately, the late Kobe Bryant say the things that he said about Michael, of that they don't win 5 championships if not for Michael's advice?
I know it's pretty touching for Michael. I saw parts of the speech with Kobe. I know there was a relationship there. I'd been around Michael when Kobe had called, and relationship I have with Michael. I said, I'm just curious, what's he trying to, you know, get from you? He says he's wanting to figure out what kind of moves he needs to create as he gets older in his career. He's slowing down a little bit. What are some advice you would give, you know, he's looking for? And it was, you know, maybe go to a post-up game, maybe. He can't get around people as much. But, you know, Kobe looked at Michael as a big brother. And Michael had respected that a lot and had a tremendous relationship for him and everything. And what happened was just a tragedy. And that's very touching for everyone.
I got to squeeze one in. It's a coaching one.
What
makes guys like Dean Smith and Phil Jackson, look, there have been a lot of coaches that have had really talented teams, but they could not pull out the best out of them. What makes those coaches, because we've talked about it, I don't think without Phil Jackson, I don't think they win those 6 titles. Like, even with the greatness that was on the court, like, it took that special coach. You played for a special coach at North Carolina. How do those special coaches pull the most out of everybody and make it all work?
I think they hold somebody like Michael or some of these players to a high standard. And within time, as years go by, whatever, those standards stay the same. That, you know, guys are smart. Michael's smart. If he knows, you know, maybe he got away with something here and there, he may lose some credibility. But a guy like Coach Smith and Coach Jackson, they kept it the same way. They held Michael
made him stay to his word and true to everything. So, I mean, he was he has a lot of respect for both of those guys. And the reason he does, because he knows that those two guys pushed him, and they were not going to let him get away with much.
Good stuff. Buzz, really good to hear from you.
Yep.
Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
We'd love to talk to you down the road.
It's good to hear from you guys. It's very I miss you guys a lot.
Same to you. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
Continue to be safe. Buzz Peterson right there. Good stuff from him. We'll come back and talk some about what you just heard. We'll do that on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.